Welcome back to another episode of The Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of The Cosmic Circus. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about Pride Month, or actually, I guess, for our purposes, Pride Year, because we've had a great year this year. My name is Brian Kitson, and I am head writer of The Cosmic Circus, and joining me today, we have Cam and Izzy. How are we doing today?
Hi. I'm doing great, thank you. It's a lovely, wet, rainy day in Britain in the middle of Pride Month, or the start of Pride Month, even. But the middle of Pride Year, as it should be. I will just put that out there. But yeah, I'm ready to talk gay and enjoy it.
I'm also doing good. I'm happy to be here. It is a crisp 90 degrees, which is homophobic, but you know what? We'll let it slide. And yeah, I'm also ready to talk gay.
I was going to say, when Cam mentioned it being rainy there, I was thinking, that's homophobic. And then you addressed it as well. I was like, we have two sides of the homophobic coin here for weather conditions.
During Pride Month? I can't believe it.
We should be thriving, and instead we are dismal or sweating.
But we come together today in an attempt to rectify the situation.
Yes.
Join the rainbow across the globe.
Yeah, because this year we actually are across the globe. Think, you know, with Cam, you being here from the UK, we get that other perspective that we don't get because America's falling apart.
The UK. I can, you know.
No, if we're all gonna move, I don't know where we're moving to, but we'll make it happen.
I've heard Scotland is doing okay right now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So I think that to start this year off, you know, it's been exactly pretty much a year since we recorded our last one. I think we recorded at the end of May. Maybe it was the beginning of June. So like any good yearly check-in, we're going to do our own version of State of the Union Address. And so this is the State of the Gay Address. Mm-hmm. Izzy, you were here with me last time when we were on the podcast.
Yes.
We covered a lot. You know, we just had Red, White, and Royal Blue, which was... it changed the world. We had Heartstoppers, Interview the Vampire. We had so many great things. And then this year, how has it changed? We've 1 year later, what has been different with queer media for you?
I feel like the state of the gay world is worse, but the state of the gay media is pretty good. It's, at least for me, I think it's really interesting. Something I've been thinking a lot about lately is how so many like big popular pieces of media are like very explicitly queer right now, to the stuff of in the sense of, I'm not just talking with my gay friends about gay media right now. I'm talking with everybody about gay media right now, because it's just what everyone's watching. That's really cool. And I haven't often like had that before. I've been like, hey, can everybody watch this thing that only I and some of my friends are watching? I think everybody should be watching this thing that I and some of my friends are watching. But now it very much feels like it's just part of the cultural conversation and in a really cool way.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you have a very good point about that. When we were talking last year, there was things that like only we were talking about, it felt like. And then we started to have those bits and pieces that people were finally starting to talk about. And when I was compiling this list that we're going to go through eventually, as you can remember, I was like, oh, I forgot about this. Like people were talking about these big moments, and they were moments, and that's not something that I've come to expect from queer media up until this year.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't like that before. Great year for, I don't know, lesbian screwball comedies and bisexuality as a whole in media.
We're winning.
Cam,
what about for you? How do you feel that we've grown since last Pride?
I've noticed a lot more gay in video games. I think that's been quite a big thing, like Spider-Man game that had a side mission where you like help a gay man not propose but ask another one to prom. That was a good one. So I think it's just becoming like more part of the conversation, especially in mm-hmm. video games, where it's very much needed, because the mm-hmm. video game side of everything, like the fandoms and stuff, is a hot mess. So it's very much needed. And I enjoyed playing, I played Horizon. I'm trying to look in at my game list now. Played Horizon Forbidden West. That had some gay moments, which I enjoyed. There's like a whole DLC where the main character, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, so I've been enjoying that a lot. And yeah, I haven't actually watched too much like media-wise, but there are a few bits that I've really enjoyed here and there.
I didn't even know that our gay queerness is getting onto video games. My nephew played Spider-Man, didn't
It
tell
is,
me this.
yeah.
Disappointed that I didn't hear about this
Yeah, I
before.
also didn't hear about Gay Spider-Man video game. Where have I been?
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
Spider-Man 2, and there's a mission with Miles Morales at school where you like help this guy go around the city and
Hades.
like ask another one to prom. It's very cute.
That's so cute. I reviewed Hades 2 recently, which is a very
Yeah. Oh, and
bisexual
we've had oh, is it Dragons? Not Dragon's Age 3. The one, the third Baldur's Gate 3, that was also
Baldur's
another
Gate
gay
3.
one.
Yeah, no, everyone's gay in Baldur's
Yeah,
Gate 3. It's
everyone
kind of
is in
hard
that
not to
one.
be gay in Baldur's Gate 3.
So what's interesting about this is one of our writers was trying to work about an article for about, queer representation in video games. And I had brought up Baldur's Gate 3 only because there is not a single client that I'm working with right now who isn't either like non-binary or trans who does not feel represented by that game, because you could just be whoever you are and it's just super queer. And like it's they describe it as helping with their gender dysphoria, which
Yeah.
I is crazy that this game is doing this.
Oh, it's cr well, just I think also just like if we're talking about queerness in video games, the fact that the avatars are like the tab that you play as is as customizable as it is. Like you don't just get like two options for gender. You can customize it as much as you want. You can romantically pursue whoever you want as whatever gender you're working at. It's pretty great.
I love it. This is, they mentioned before about PTSD being able to be treated by video games, and here we are, helping other populations, our people,
Right? Oh, that's so great. I've actually haven't super fully considered that other than like pronoun selection in games, like how much customizing an avatar can really be cathartic in that way.
Right,
Yeah.
because you just get to be exactly whoever you are.
That's cool.
So it sounds like we made a lot of positive progress. Is there anything that we feel has maybe taken a step back in our queerness for
Oh,
pop?
definitely like the discourse surrounding anything sort of like especially in on certain websites and stuff, but I think that's probably the most damning, and especially in the news. Like I don't know if there's a big debate about trans people in America right now, but there is very
There
much
is.
so in the UK. So much so
Unfortunately,
that they're yeah, so much so that they've stopped puberty blockers for children while they like do whatever. But yeah, it's very much so that's not helping fuel things in media when it comes to like the representation and stuff. So definitely think it's a step backwards in terms of acceptance, like online and things, unfortunately.
I would agree with that. I think that again, it's this weird disconnect where the state of queer media can be really nice, and then the state of the world and our legislation is not particularly great right now. I will say, I think there's definitely more trans representation now more than ever, but there is definitely less in comparison to other queer representation. Although I haven't watched Monkey Man yet, but I did hear that Dev Patel does like have like an army of trans women and they go do action movie things together, and that's great. But other than that, I haven't really heard of a lot.
Yeah, I've heard the same with that, so I need to check that one out.
So I actually got to see that one early, for the Cosmic Circle and Cosmic Circus and review it. And not only is yes, 100%, but they also, in between the scenes, there are these moments of like showing you what's happening in like his country, but they're also talking about news stories, and a lot of the stories are about like trans individuals being murdered or like women being like, kidnapped, and like all of these stories, and he highlights them. Each one gets like a like almost like a news segment they're talking about in between the story he's telling, and that was also really cool too, because it just
Yeah.
covers. But yeah, then there's a badass group of trans individuals that just come in, and they come in the like they're in most of the story, but they come in the third act, and they just did some of the best scenes.
That's fantastic. Oh, I need to see it. There's so many movies to see. So little time to go to the theaters.
It's only going to keep getting better.
That's true. One thing that I will actually say, though, that I have noticed this year that I think is a good thing, is that I work with kids a lot. And children's attitude towards queer stuff, at the very least from when I was younger to now, is very different. And I think a lot of that is deeply impacted by media, because I think that now the kids who are growing up now are just having this more like mainstream content around them. So there's just like, there's less shame in it, I think. And so it's really interesting. Like when I was younger, I was kind of like afraid to call things like gay, unless like, I don't know, people would call it, use that as like an insulting word. But other than that, kids these days are just talking about it like it's very normal and natural. And from a lot of conversations I'm having with them, at the very least where I'm at, I live in a very liberal place, you know. And from my conversations with them, a lot of it has to do with things like Heartstopper and stuff that is accessible for young kids to watch, where it just is presented as normal.
Yeah, I can attest to that because I work in a sort of shop that sells like a whole, it's a bit like a Hot Topic, but we have it over here and it sells films and stuff as well. And we do like a range of sexuality badges, and the amount of like kids that buy those and like talk with the friends about what they think they are and stuff, I've noticed like an awful lot more from when it would have been at my age, like scared to even, say anything about it. So it's nice, it's heartwarming to see that. When I'm like at work and stuff, which I find really interesting, because I would not have been like that in public at my, if I was like 13, 14 or whatever. So,
No, I remember being little and being like super nervous to put like a rainbow sticker, like a very vague rainbow sticker on my computer, because I was like, will they know? And I was like, part of it, I want people to know, but also, will they know? Like, it was terrifying. And all these kids are just like having their little tents and stuff. That's so good. I love that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, growing up, I'm in a pretty liberal area, but there was one out gay kid in high school, and I didn't come out until I was in my 20s. And so, like, to get to see these kids, especially like in my profession, I see younger and younger, they're coming out and they're just, it's just so normal. They'll be like, oh yeah, I have a crush on so and so. And it's like, oh, okay. And who is so and so? And then, the acceptance of, pronouns and gender and sexuality, and it just seems to be much more accepted in such a younger age. And so, I'm glad to see that maybe, well, there's hope. We don't have to worry about beloved childhood act, writers who want to ruin their platform by being transphobic, which we won't name here. But
Oh, good Lord.
that we are growing, hopefully, as young kids, our society will change as well. And of course, one of the bad things that this is for you, Z. We have to take a moment of silence for our lost queer media, which is the
Our
black
flag
flag.
reset.
Yeah, our
Our
flag means
flag
that.
reset. Yes, I know. I mean, I was upset about, I'm not as upset about it, because I think that to a certain extent it's like we told a story. It was what it needed to be, you know. I think it was, yeah. I
You
mean,
just
I've made my peace with it.
that's all we can do sometimes, is that we just have to,
Yeah.
at least the character wasn't killed off in a, our queer character wasn't killed off in a show in a horrible way. It the
Well,
show
also part of
ended.
this, every single character in it is queer, so it's like I think that a lot of media is like if you're having like an, if there's an Interview with the Vampire situation, if a character's killed off, it's not like you're killing your one gay character, because every other character is also gay.
100%.
But yeah, I don't know. I've made peace with it. There's other shows. It's fine.
That's okay. That's okay. So then, before we get into what we've consumed this year, I thought of this question because of something Cam actually said about being reading more of the queer of his queer media than maybe watching television shows. What is our preferred way to consume our media nowadays? Do you think that it's changed over the past year or so of our lives? I've noticed for myself, I have gotten a lot more into reading. I think that I've been buying a lot more of those queer stories and trying to find more unique stories in that way. But I also am a big firm believer that television and movies are fantastic, and so I do watch a lot of those, and I'm glad to see that we're getting representation on that as well. But how about for you, Azzy? What are you feeling? What's your way of consuming media?
I have always been a bit of a scavenger there. I just sort of, whatever is interesting, I will watch it. I will read it. I will. That's why I'm always behind on everything, because I'm trying to keep up to date across like all forms of storytelling.
For
So, you know,
sure.
like I'm trying to catch up on all the animated shows and all the video games and all the comics and all the shows and all the movies. So I'm very much taken a little bit here and there. And also, I tend to be attracted to stuff that's already queer. So sometimes it's not like I start something, I go, oh, there's gay people in this, crazy. I start it because I know that there's gay people, and then I go, oh, there's a lot. Crazy.
You're just scrolling through Tumblr, and like as soon as you see a post, you're like, "Star that! We're coming back to that
Yeah.
later."
And that's exactly what happens.
Is Tumblr still a thing?
And
Yes, it
unfortunately, it is.
The good thing about Tumblr is that you know everyone on there is queer. First of all, there's not straight people on Tumblr. And also,
Mm-mm.
it's one of the few websites that doesn't really have an algorithm in the same way. There is a For You page now, which is weird, but it's very much still, you look at a tag, there's all this stuff there. You're not really being sold anything. They've tried. It is, you cannot market to Tumblr. It's just gay communists.
If there's gonna be a website for gay communists, it's going to be Tumblr.
Exactly.
Cam, what about you? I know you mentioned you read a lot. Is that what your main
Yes.
form of media?
I'd say it's a bit of a mix as well. I've sort of read like a lot of like, it's really easy to sort of go into a bookshop now and they will have like a gay section. Like I've noticed in a lot of bookshops, that's what they have now. So that's really easy to like get into and read and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I've not watched too much stuff. Like I'm not caught up with Heartstopper, like, you know, Shoot Me or whatever. I feel like, well, I want to watch season one. I was in a relationship, and then season two, I think, would make me depressed because I'm not now. So,
Sorry.
but
Valid.
season, yeah. But yeah, no, I have. And then obviously, there's like been a few bits here and there. Like, obviously, Doctor Who had its most gay episode, I think, in existence just the other day. So,
And I
that was
haven't
very
watched
nice.
it.
Oh, no.
I'm getting
No
so
spoilers
many
from me.
TikTok edits of it. It's
Yeah.
just
Yeah, there's like Kylie in it. There's not like the actress, the music, but yeah, it's very, very good, that one. I enjoyed that. But yeah, so it's sort of been a mixture, but there has been a lot of books as well, which has been nice this year because I have got back into reading.
It's the year of reading. I'm telling you, there's just something about it.
That's true.
And just know the nice thing about media as well. I went through the same thing when I went through a breakup. I was in the middle of watching all the Defender shows on Netflix, and I did not go back to them until recently. One day you're going to claim that back, and they're going to be waiting there for you. So,
True.
Heartstoppers isn't going anywhere. But to continue being friends, you do have to watch it eventually. Otherwise, I will be disappointed. No, see.
It's on the list. It's on the list. Nice.
That was, I don't think last time we did the podcast, I had watched it yet. I think, or I just watched it, but
I
I
think you just
had,
watched it.
okay. It became like a revolution. It is one of my shows that whenever I'm like just need something on television, I turn that on. That or WandaVision. For some reason, those two, I can just
I can see that.
interchange them. Same
I have
energy.
since, I remember you guys told me last time I had to watch WandaVision. I have watched it. It is good.
I just, it's so comforting. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think sometimes you need shows to have on that are just like comforting. And I think Heartstopper really fulfills that for a lot of people. I told you guys when we were planning for this podcast that I was babysitting a kid the other day who's he's young and he's queer. But he also has this thing where he like his family's very supportive, but he still finds the community a little cringy. And I'm like, buddy, you're not going to be one of the acceptable gays. You just have to accept yourself where you're at. And so, you know, he had his allotted TV time and he kept pretending like he was watching like a superhero show. And then he kept changing it to Heartstopper when he thought I wasn't looking. And then I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I've seen that show. I like that show. Please put it on. And he was like, oh, okay. And he just seemed like, it was so sweet. You know, I was like, no, you don't have to be embarrassed. Watch the queer show.
Absolutely. And that show just has so much representation of every kind that, like, we love it. We love it. So eventually, Cam, you got to go back and watch it, but like, give yourself
Yes,
some
I will.
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to go ahead and put the spoiler warning. If you haven't watched most of the queer media of this year, you're going to want to stop. I mean, we're funny to listen to, but
I will
like,
be getting into it.
I know. The first one on the list, I know for a fact, I'm just going to give you the podium. So spoilers, just turn away now if you don't.
I didn't experience queer media this year. Queer media this year experienced me. So I hear what are we bringing up the person on the list? Are we talking about challengers?
I put it on the list because I figured that I need to give you the most time for that one. The
I
rest of them,
attempt
if we don't reach
to
it,
be brief. I will try my darndest to be succinct. But listen, I don't know what sexuality I walked into this movie with. I did walk out bisexual. I don't know if that will last, but that's where we're at. And it is purely because of this movie. I have not seen a movie that is so, like, everyone and their mother is talking about this movie right now, at least in my life. It's in the conversation. People are like, have you seen Challengers? I saw it with both of my parents. Like, it's crazy. Although it's not a movie to see with your parents. I should say that.
So I shouldn't take my mom to this.
Probably not, I would say so.
Perfect. Perfect.
That being said, it's like such a bisexual movie. It's about, I mean, it's a love triangle, but it's a love triangle where all the corners touch, you know? And there's kind of a polyamorous energy in the film too. It's great. And the fact that I keep seeing everyone talk about it is just something I haven't had before, because I feel like Zendaya being in it brought a big like touchstone for people where they're like, of course I'm gonna watch it, Zendaya's in it. And so many people are just checking this film out, and it's just so, I don't know, I haven't seen a film that is that bisexual in a really long time. And it's just so cool that it's something that everybody is talking about. I mean, we sort of had this kind of last year with Saltburn, which, weird movie, but very gay, where everyone was watching it, probably mostly because it was weird and less because it was gay. But just people who I don't see seeking out queer media a lot were still talking about it in a way that I haven't come to expect. And I'm having sort of a similar thing with Challengers right now, where like, everyone, my middle-aged coworkers who are incredibly heterosexual are being like, have you seen that Challengers movie? It's great. The score's amazing. I hope it wins an Oscar. And I'm like, yeah, I do too.
Pam, was your experience with this film the same? Because you said you saw this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was me in the cinema. There was, like, I think I was one of the only guys in the cinema. There was me and loads of girls and like a group of old women who, when I kept looking over, were having the time of their lives. So
let's go.
I think this is the film for like I actually did come out and I was like, maybe I am bisexual.
Maybe I am bisexual.
It's definitely like a, like, you were just racy film, like so racy in so many ways. And I loved absolutely every second.
It's crazy to me. What's crazy to me is that I had that questioning of, am I bisexual this year? And I haven't seen this film. And now I'm like, do I need to see this film? Because
you need to see this film.
No, you will also question more.
You will question. Listen, this film made me maybe be attracted to guys. We don't know.
That is a heavy statement.
Okay. This is the one slightly spoiler thing I will give, because you haven't seen it. You really just experience it. But there's a shot close to the beginning where it's one of the guys and he's in bed and he's just like mostly naked. And then it immediately cuts to Zendaya, also mostly naked, already like 5 minutes into the film. I am bisexual.
Yeah. The guy's in his little tighty whities and Zendaya's
that was a crazy
just in like,
shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just gets worse.
Hello.
Yeah. And it just continues for the rest of the cinema.
They started off strong and they were like, you guys need to know what we're doing and be okay
with
it.
Which is crazy, because I saw so many reviews where it kept being like, and you know what? This film is kind of maybe saying that maybe the two guys are also kind of maybe interested in each other as well. There is a tight close-up of them locking lips. I don't know what you mean, maybe. I don't know how we got to maybe. But
again, I haven't seen this, and I I do not care if it gets spoiler. I'm hosting this podcast. I know it's going to happen. But from what I heard, it actually doesn't, it's the ending's not quite so ambiguous that there is a lot of queerness in the end, correct?
It's okay. Here's the thing. I have my specific, I will go to war for my interpretation of this movie. And I have. I watched it on streaming with my friend the other day and I paused it every 3 seconds to analyze something else. I have looked at all of, I watched all the actor interviews. I've read the original script. I went crazy for the filmmaking of this movie. Okay, so I know what I believe was intended at the ending of the film, which is incredibly queer. I don't think there's a lot of ways to interpret it that aren't queer. I interpreted it. Again, I'm not going to tell you what happens. I interpreted it as implying that the three of them all got together at the end. You can interpret it in different ways. That's how I thought it was. Some people took different things away from it, but I have basically never seen anybody interpret it completely heterosexually. There's just not really a way to do that.
No, like they make it pretty clear that even at the start of the film that those two guys definitely have a
Yeah.
history.
Oh, they make it clear. No, when I watched it with my dad, we like see a shot of the two of them together, and my dad immediately just went, "Oh,
that's you'll do a lot of that in the film.
There's no hiding it.
No, not at all." Which another thing that I find really interesting is that when I'm, talking with a bunch of people and seeing everybody's a reaction to it. Basically, everyone I know who's talking about this film thinks it's a very well-made movie. But every like woman and queer person I know will be like, and it's also a sexy movie. I know a bunch, like a couple of straight guys who were like, and I was in uncomfortable the whole time, and they thought that that was like intended. They were like, it's great. I was just like stressed out and uncomfortable, and it felt awkward. And I'm like, how did they have such, I mean, they liked the movie, but we had such a different experience. And I think part of it is that the guys are way more sexualized than the woman in it. That's part of it. And I don't think a lot of straight guys know how to handle that. So they just found it uncomfortable instead. They were like, undeniably, this is
Yeah.
great
If
filmmaking, but
anything,
also
it's like
boy.
a female gaze film, like
It's a very female gaze film. I mean, to a certain extent, it is kind of about literal, like her being kind of a liar, to be honest. Which is crazy. It's crazy. Watch this movie, it's crazy.
I was just gonna say it's funny that you say that because with going off what you said, kind of comparing this to Saltburn, which has fell into the year this year of Pride, I got to see that early in a packed theater, and that
In
was
a
very
packed theater. Good Lord.
I did take a brand new friend that I hadn't really known for that long to that film, not knowing what it was,
What a test
and
of friendship that is.
I was gonna
We're
say
not
like
friends
you're locked.
anymore. We're
So
not
you're
friends
either
anymore.
locked in for life after that film, or like you'll never speak again.
No,
Good
especially when we
Lord.
got to the one scene. But the one scene,
The
which
one
I don't.
scene could be so many scenes in this movie. What do you
Okay.
mean? Are we talking the bathtub or the graveyard?
Or the
Or
vampire
the
one, to be honest.
the funny story, really quick, about the bathtub scene is that when we got there. There was like a little party going on for the film, and they were giving out the little tubs of the bathtub, but weren't explaining what they were. They were like, they were actually a drink. It was like very like murky water. And everyone was like, oh my God, this tastes so good. And then we got in there and we got to that scene. Everyone was like, oh no. But that's that scene specifically,
That
the
feels like
gays loved that.
psychological warfare.
Yeah. The gays loved that scene though. They were literally like, oh my God, that is so sexy. And I was like, what? Excuse me, why is that sexy?
Oh, the variation in reaction. This movie, more than anything, will tell you who amongst your friends is a freak. I will tell you that. And I say that with love and care. But the differences in my friends who watched that movie and were like, oh, versus the ones who are like, it was crazy.
Absolutely. And with that film though too is I think what I from what you guys are saying about Challenger I like a little bit more is that it Saltburn does walk back the queerness a little bit at the end because he was just like, oh, I was doing it to get what I wanted, not necessarily because I had feelings. And that felt like a walk back of like, dude, you fucked a grave. Like we're
You fucked a grave. Which, by the way, the that actor like improvised, which is crazy. I'm sorry. Imagine you're in the crew, and then this guy just like takes his dick out in a mound of earth. Good Lord! And you just
And
have
the
to keep rolling.
yeah, they're just the guy standing there with the camera. He's like, do I look? Do I stop? And the
Yeah,
director's
and
like,
that scene
no.
goes on for a few minutes, so they must have
It
just kept the cameras going.
continues. Continuous. That was psychological warfare to me.
I'm so sorry.
No, but yeah, no, but yeah, I agree. It's like it kind of walks it back a little bit because I mean he has sex with basically everyone in that movie. But then it's kind of, I mean, it's still queer because you can't have a male character have sex with a male character and be like, it's a heterosexual situation, even though the show The Politician a few years ago did try to do that.
Bad.
You can't succeed, but you can try. This movie, Challengers, does not do that. If anything, they're like, and it was gayer than you thought it was. So it's a good time. I mean, it's
Do you
Ruben
think,
Onofrio, so he's never gonna make something that isn't at least a little fruity.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why the box office suffered a little bit at the beginning there? Was because it was so gay?
I think the box office suffering is for a multitude of reasons right now. I think it says a lot about the industry in general and the fact that a lot of people just don't have money to go to the movies.
Sure.
But the movie wasn't advertised as gay. The movie was
No.
advertised as the Zendaya threesome movie. And
With
honestly, it looks
tennis.
with featuring tennis,
Featuring tennis.
which actually, I mean, it's a lot more tennisy than I thought, but in a great way. Actually, it's fantastic tennis, which is, I never thought I would say that tennis is a sexy sport. Good Lord, I do believe tennis
I
is a sexy
will
sport
now
now. God
probably
forgive me.
watch tennis.
You know what? Whatever will get people off of pickleball. But, I
You're
saw
like,
one
get rid of
Letterboxd.
pickleball.
Oh, but like I saw one Letterboxd review that was like, to quote Oscar Wilde, everything is about sex except for sex, which is about tennis. And that is the plot of the movie. But I don't think a lot of people went in expecting it to be a queer movie. I actually think that in this case, the queerness helped because it made it more interesting as a love triangle. Because there's actually a lot of people who I know who, again, not necessarily queer, who I was like, it's a tennis love triangle movie. And they went, but I'm so sick of love triangles. And I went, no, look at me. It's a lo tennis love triangle movie. And they were immediately like, oh, that's more interesting. Because I think a lot of people are just kind of bored of the dynamic of
I mean,
two people who hate each other fighting over one person. It's
It
way more
wouldn't have been
interesting.
as good.
Exactly. It's way more interesting if everybody's too, in whatever way, invested in each other. So I actually think that that helped, which I wouldn't expect outside of 2024. You know, I think we've gotten to a point where it's like, that is something that will just get people to the movies now who aren't just queer, which is crazy.
It's
I
like
will
when
say.
they advertise musicals as not being musicals, like, because they think people aren't going to go to the cinema because it's a
Mean
musical.
Girls.
But yeah.
Oh God, listen, I love Renee Rapp, but that was not a great adaptation.
The thing that's interesting about the ch about Challengers is that I really wanted to see it when I first saw the trailer, but I kept telling like my mom and my friends, I was like, we have to go see this because it looks like such a great psychological thriller.
And
And
it kind of is.
which I think is what they wanted to like aim for. And then when the reviews came out that weekend, I remember I was sitting there, it was like midnight, my dog was outside using the bathroom, I'm scrolling through my phone and it was just like gay, and I was like, what the, when did this happen, when did this happen, how did I miss this?
Because, listen, Zendaya wants the twinks to kiss. I don't, well, they're not twinks. We're losing the gay lexicon. They are, in
I'd say
fact,
they are, like they
well,
have,
one of them's an
one of
otter,
the
I do
other one,
believe.
the other one,
But no,
and they're probably old enough to, one of them's probably a twunk, just a little bit.
no, one of them is definitely a twunk. One of them is for sure a twunk. We're losing the art of the gay lexicon. We're calling everyone twinks willy-nilly these days. We can't go about saying this. But anyway, but no, it was queer in a way that they don't set you up for when you start the film. It just sets it up like these two guys in a tennis match fighting for this girl's attention. And then what makes it interesting is that the guys are equally invested in each other. And it becomes this thing where, again, way more interesting. It's not the fight to get the girl, it's the fight to be included. It's the fight that the two people you care about most in the world are going to choose each other over you, and you can't let that happen. That's way more interesting than this girl I love is with this guy I hate. Instead, it's I have two people who I care about. I have these two people who I, my whole life revolves around, and I don't want them to leave me behind. That's great. That's way more cinematic. That's tennis, baby. You know?
Which I feel like, granted, maybe this is just my people and around here and my, you know, but I feel like that's a very universal almost story for queer individuals, just like feeling left out when the straight friends start to date.
Oh, because part of it is that I think one of the reasons why I've seen talk with straight people talk about this. I'm sorry to yap on so much about this, but they realize that it's queer a little bit later than I would expect a lot of the time. Because I saw that one shot where we go back in time and we see the two guys playing doubles tennis and they win and they just sort of tackle each other and it's like, oh,
I mean, that
okay,
is where it
understood.
started for me. I was like, oh,
Right?
it's that kind of film.
Exactly. But it also every single queer person I know who talked to who I talked to about this, that was immediately clockable as like that very specific type of queer codependent friendship that you have growing up that like either you know about had or somebody you knew had, where it's you neither of you will acknowledge what it is, but you grow up and you have it. And then one day one of you gets your first serious girlfriend or boyfriend or person of the opposite gender, and you're like, why am I so upset about this? And it builds into a thing, and then you have an inexplicable falling out that you don't think about for you're like, why was that so intense? And then later on you're gonna look back and you're like, oh, that was my first serious breakup. Like within seconds, every queer person I know watch that.
Oh, I'm getting
Which
war flashbacks over here. I wasn't expecting
I
therapy.
know, I know, I know. It's crazy. And so that's like the relationship between these two guys in it. And then also they are very invested in this woman as well. And it's just a very and it's contagious, unfortunately. Like, not to say that, like, listen, I don't think that anything can turn anyone gay, but maybe I would,
That film count.
but maybe this film is the first experiment into that.
They're trying to do some psychological test to see if like can we make both ends of the spectrum just a little bit more in the middle?
Just a little bit more. Listen,
Yeah.
I was already sold on Zendaya in a tennis skirt, but
Yeah,
apparently, maybe men can be attractive. Who's to say? Who's to say?
but then you get their personalities in there and it's all bets are off.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, there
we're
is
gonna
that.
switch gears from our bisexual love of challengers to
Yeah.
the very gay realism of Dead Boy Detectives, which has been a phenomenon in and of itself, especially in the Cosmic Circus. If I don't mention this one, I know Lizzie will probably fire me. Not really, but this is one that she's been a very big challenger about. I loved it. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. And it's just also incredibly gay across the board. There's just so much gayness going on in the show. Have either of you seen this one?
I haven't.
No, I
I've seen
have
the
not.
TikTok edits going ham.
Yeah, I've seen people talk about it on Twitter, so I know there's a lot of gay, but
I go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I was told a little bit how gay it was, and then I keep getting surprised by how much gayer it seems to be than the little bit that was advertised to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, so there is definitely some allusions to like bisexuality, a little bit to female love. But episode 7, I will just say this, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had the screeners, I had to finish it up for the next day to write it up, and I was sitting there on my couch just like losing my mind, just crying, because they do the queer storyline so well in that episode. And I don't want to spoil it if you guys are going to watch it, but like it's really, really good and it's very real.
See, this is what I mean. That's all you have to say about watch the show.
Yeah.
I'm
Like
there.
I'm there. I'm hooked in now.
I've also heard apparently it's a Neil Gaiman thing too. I did not know that.
Yes.
They didn't
Yes.
lead with that.
Oh, well, that
No.
explains a lot.
Yeah, no, that explains a lot.
It's connected to the Sandman show, if you guys have watched that.
Yes, I
No.
have. I really like the Sandman show.
Not seen that either.
Okay, well, watch
Okay.
the Sandman show. Do
So,
that. You have homework.
funny story. Don't worry, Cam. I have not seen the Sandman show either, and I watched that show and was
Et tu,
perfectly fine.
Brute? Oh my goodness. Betrayal on all sides.
I'm sorry. There's two characters from the show that show up, and I was just like, one of them I know because they made a big deal about it. And the other one, I wasn't supposed to talk about. Like, so.
Was it? Well, I think I know who it is. I don't know if it's going to be a spoiler, but I did see. Is it Desire? Did Desire show up at all?
No. So
It was
Death does
somebody else.
show up. Death
No,
shows
I was
up.
thinking about somebody else. Okay, because Desire is a cool non-binary character, and I like
I
them.
was gonna say, are you talking about Mason? I love Mason.
Yeah. No, it's also, I love any single time a piece of media takes something again, like, and a character that is meant to embody something like desire or love, and then makes them kind of trans or non-binary or gender fluid in a way, or like obviously queer because they're meant to encapsulate all of this stuff. You know, it's not just meant to be one type of desire. It's the concept of desire, you know? And so I think that that's a really cool character that they cast a non-binary actor and they have it as a non-binary role. So I don't know if they show up in Dead Boy Detectives. I know probably other people do, but no.
No. I think part of it was that they were filming Quantum Leap as well, because they're a
Oh.
main cast member of that show.
And you know what? I love to see them booked and busy. Go crazy.
Right. And I will say their character on Quantum Leap is also non-binary. So like and
Heck
there's
yeah.
definitely there's moments of it, and it gets a little more queer as the show went on. It did get canceled after season two.
Of course it did.
Yeah, it really sucks.
Ugh.
But
Rewrite it, Dawn. Oh.
another moment of silence. But so I will just say this, that both of you should definitely watch Dead Boy Detectives. When you get to episode 7, and you are probably not crying like I was, but when you get there's going to be a moment that
Never say
is,
never.
well, I think that there's a really real moment. I think I can say this, and it's not going to spoil anything too much, but when you have that moment of you have your straight friend that maybe you have feelings for, and you finally say something and you're afraid you're going to lose it all, and
Yeah.
then for a lot of us, we probably did, especially when we were younger, and you don't in this show. It's very normalized of like you're allowed to have feelings and we can figure this out, but right now we need to go save the world kind of thing. So it's a very beautiful moment, and it's something that really touched me, and I was glad to see that they kept that, because apparently it's not as explicit in the comic books. My sister read it for the website, and she was like, yeah, you wouldn't really know that, like they hint and allude to him being gay, but they don't ever actually address it in that way.
That's something that I've seen a lot in any sort of like reboot or adaptation that's happening lately, is that there's a lot of queer coded characters who lately, if something does get picked up again, are now just explicitly queer. Because I guess that you just had to hint at it before. And now it's like, no, this is a storyline that we can explore, which is cool. Okay, I'll have to check it out. I mean, it seemed I was already with it, but that sold me. You just have to be like, hey, it's gay and it'll make you sad. Maybe I'm there.
I mean, isn't that most of it? Like, let's look at Interview with a Vampire. I don't know if you guys have been watching season two, but like, it also just makes you sad.
Yeah, but no, but that makes you sad in like a fun, operatic camp way, you know? Or not necessarily camp, but like, you know what I mean. It's just like, I'm sad in a way where it's like I'm watching an epic story unfold. It's not necessarily in the same like interpersonal way that I get with other things where I'm like, and I've lived that. I have never been a vampire watching like my vampire daughter die in front of it. Like that's never happened to me.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
Did
but it's
have they reached
sad.
that part of the show?
Oh, they're getting there. You know, I've seen the original movie, so I know what will occur. Oh God, Claudia. Claudia, my beloved. Ugh, I'm so sad for her all the time. But one thing I really do like about that show is that it's just, I love it when they're like, hey, what if we were gay and awful? Love it when characters are freaks. I'm glad that we've reached a point where you don't, it's not a, I don't know how to describe this. You can have a morally complex queer character in something, and it doesn't have to be a homophobic, like, yeah, all gay people are like this. And it also doesn't have to be, and this is the queer character, and they've never made any mistakes because they have to be the one good piece of queer representation that we get, right? Instead, it can just be a weird show of messy, operatic gay vampires doing terrible things to each other, and it's great.
They are awful. They
They're terrible. It's
so I'm trying to be making sure I'm being very careful. I've seen the whole season two. I
great.
saw it before season two came out.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And I remember being like, God, they are so awful this season. And like the thing about the movie is, back in the day when, of course, it wasn't quite outwardly that they were gay, but they weren't quite out with it.
There was vibes
There
and
was
the
vibes.
cinematography and the film of it. And the cinematography is just like them looking sad and longing and homosexual at each other.
And sharing a coffin. Come on, we all know what
Let's be
we all know
real.
what that means. But they didn't tr they don't try to make Lewis the hero necessarily of this story. Like, he's also very open about how awful he is.
Yeah. Ugh. And great move to put more people of color in the reboot too.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, first of all, Louis originally as being a slave owner, not great. And so in this, when they're just like, what if instead we make him a black man and explore that? That's so much better. But it's also just like the fact that he and Armand in this are men of color is just, I find it way more intriguing and appealing as a queer story when it's also not just about white people. So I think that that's really important too. Especially again, the fact that they get to be messy and the fact that they are queer people of color gets to be part of it.
I'll agree with you. I think that, like, I was just talking about this with somebody else about, we are making the strides for, like, for gay people and lesbians and transgender and I'm binary, and then, like, but of those subgroups, a lot of the time BIPOC individuals are forgotten, and and we're not talking about the people of color in that community because most of the media is white. And so getting to see that, and I think this is where Doctor Who comes in too. Doctor
Yeah,
Who is very gay right now,
absolutely.
but he's
Yeah.
also, he's not, they're non-binary, I'm pretty sure. I think they he him they them I think is
Okay.
his preferred, but correct me if I'm wrong. I'll look that up in a second, but the doctor is very gay. Like, very gay. I think Cam can speak on this as well because he's seen the most recent episodes, but,
I
like,
have.
it got very gay. Like, it isn't even, like, alluded to. It's like,
No, there is like kiss, big gay kiss in
love
the
it.
episode.
Oh my God. I
brought
mean,
to us by the lovely Kate Herron, who did Loki, because she was hired because Russell Davies complained about the lack of bisexuality in the Loki show, so she ended up writing the most sort of gay Doctor Who episode ever. So we love that.
that's fantastic. Oh my God. Ugh.
I just want to say, apparently it is they them. So,
Okay.
but they
Good to know.
also the article also uses he. So apparently, CBC, what's going on here? No, but there is. I noticed that this season with Doctor Who, there was. I think it actually began with the specials. I think I was just like, wow, this is really gay, and, like, there's just a lot of gay vibes going on, and I was loving it. I remember I was in New York watching it. And I was just like, this is so gay. And then it just keeps getting gayer. And like, even, like, Ruby, who is bisexual, and, like, it's just a normalized part of the story. And I'm just like, this is great to see that this media that's been around for 60 years is finally embracing change.
That's fantastic. I mean, wasn't there? I mean, I grew up watching Doctor Who, but it was also like it's faded in my memory to a certain extent. There's that one guy, who isn't he like bisexual?
Jack Harkness,
Yeah,
yeah,
Jack.
that is also one of, like, 2005. There was also a gay kiss,
Yeah, I know, which is crazy.
but the doctor
So,
wasn't, like, gay back then,
yeah,
so
so it's really cool to see that like come back and be way more like explicit. In that, because I feel like that's been a part of Doctor Who's legacy for a while. And so I love that they are really like committing to that.
And I feel like it's about time we the showrunner is gay. Like, come on, bring the gay.
Bring the gay. Go forth and be homosexual.
Going from one galaxy to another, we're gonna go to Cam's corner over here, because you are our Star Wars
I
person,
am, yes. That
and
is 90% of my articles on the website, but
we love it because we need
yeah.
that. How is the gay over in a galaxy far, far away?
not really there in TV, I have to admit. I mean, it is gonna be, I think. The Acolyte is out now at the moment, and in one of the episodes, the two main characters, the like twins, they have lesbian parents. So I think we're going to see that explored in the next episode, which of course in the Star Wars fandom has gone down like an absolute dumpster fire because half of the fandom is, well, not half, like a really vocal minority are just horrible, horrible people. But where I'm most loving it at the moment is the books, especially the High Republic. There is a wonderful, just amazing group of like authors from like all different backgrounds. Like some of them are like, LGBT and all of that, and it's just there in the books. Like there's a Red, there's Escape from Valor, which is like a children's book, like for sort of like young teens to read. That's just like this, it's got like this whole the main character realizing like he's gay for his like best friend and everything, and all the other characters know that he is, but he has to figure it out himself. And it's just, yes, I'm absolutely loving like all of that at the moment. I think it's one of like the best sort of areas for Star Wars to explore sexuality in that way. Like there has been a lot of characters in the books, like from the films, that have ended up sort of gay. Like got Tarkin, you've got Obi-Wan who's bi, you've got other people,
I did not know that.
in there is a
Obi-Wan is
book,
bi?
I'm
there's a
sorry, you
book
cannot just
called
drop the. Well, what a year for bisexuality is what I am learning.
there's yeah so
Anakin,
yeah, so Star Wars books are
I
the
need
way
you
to
to
go.
baby step walk me through Obi-Wan's latent bisexuality. Hit me,
Okay,
please.
so there's a book called, hang on, I need to double check the name, Padawan. Yes, ooh, that is
He's like, let me pull out the bookmark I have to the exact
yeah,
chapter.
no, let's pull
And
out the receipts,
there
let's pull out the
is,
sources.
so he's like in the Jedi Temple when Obi-Wan is a Padawan, so he's like probably about 13, 14. And then he has a crush on one of the guys, just dropped in, so he's bi. Yeah. So
Oh
there we go.
yeah.
I
Let's
love So
go.
yeah, so Star
Oh.
Wars books are just, if you want gay media in Star Wars, just read the books. That's all I'll say.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's probably Ewan McGregor sitting back there being like, you guys need to make him bi as soon as
Yeah.
possible.
I can imagine.
Genuinely. Oh, man. See, I have such a love-hate relationship with that because on one hand, I love the fact that it's so queer in the books, and on the other hand, I hate that it's queer, like
Yeah,
just in the books.
it's they've got a long way to go with these shows and everything. Obviously it's still the fans that are doing all the hard work, like Ahsoka. You had Sabine and, oh my God, I've forgotten what she's called, Shin. They obviously sort of look at each other like a lot of the times longingly, so the fans went crazy for them too. So who knows if they'll end up with something in season two of Ahsoka, but I won't keep my I'll keep my fingers crossed, that's all I'll say. But
I was gonna say, in the seventh season of Clone Wars, the one that was on Disney Plus, wasn't there almost a relationship with Ahsoka and another female character?
yes, and it's originally when they did the old episodes, it was like Ahsoka and a man. I think it's with the Martez sisters. I don't know if you've watched the Clone Wars, but but then I think they scrapped it when they swapped it to girls. So we could have had Ahsoka, but they seem to do a lot of scrapping, unfortunately. So.
Well, I feel like that's such a thing when it comes to queer media. That thankfully things are getting more and more explicit. But I mean, I remember growing up where a piece of media would be canonically queer in whatever way, or it'd be like a franchise where it's queer in one part of it. But because you have to go searching for it, if ever I say that, people look at you like you're crazy. So you have to write like an MLA format, 20-page, one single space essay to explain to people why it's queer, because it is. And it was just infuriating for so much of my life. I'd have to sit people down and be like, look at me. I know that these two women only look at each other once in the show, but if you read the spin-off book, spin-off of the comic, there is one scene where they touch hands, and the writer did say in an interview that they were implying that they were maybe
That
a
is
romantic thing.
literally what it's like at the moment.
So I feel like we're sort of moving away from that, but there's obviously with these really big franchises, they don't want to take risks like that all the time.
I mean,
I
I'm
was
a
thinking in my head when you were mentioning that, I was like, yeah, one of the things that people I heard dissertations about it was the scene in the Marvels between Captain Marvel and Valkyrie that like is queer, coded, but it's really not,
Oh yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's queer coded because I'm a crazy person. So like I see two people on screen together and I'm like, I could make something out of this. I can do that.
Right.
I can do the work in my head. I mean, I think that's part of it, is that part of queer media for so long was that there's like this unspoken, oh, the rest of this exists in your head. It exists into what you can make it into. And so, I mean, that's what so much of fan fiction came off of. I mean, modern day Western fan fiction came off of that one Star Trek episode in 1996 called Amok Time, where like it was mostly, I think, housewives who were watching that episode and went, no, there's something happening there. And then they wrote fan fiction about it. And that's how we got to today, right? And so that's why so much of fan fiction is inherently queer. And so I think that there's so much of just hinting at something and then just trusting queer fans to make the rest of it up in their head. So it's nice that we're moving to a place that's a little bit more explicit. I'd like it to be faster, but it's getting there.
I mean, I remember being young, seeing Lord of the Rings in theaters, and definitely not maybe having the language, but definitely being like, there's something going on between Sam and Frodo. And then at the end, Sam
Frodo.
marries, and Sam marries a girl. And I like remember looking over, like, this doesn't seem right.
Oh yeah. No, and the actor who played Sam has said in interviews, there's one specific clip that will go viral like once a year, or viral on my section of the internet, where somebody he'll be like, you know, fans will come up to me sometimes and they'll be like, Sam and Frodo should have kissed, and I'll be like, how do you know they didn't? You know? And I'm like, talk your shit. So he's
Absolutely.
a big, very big proponent of that, which is always.
As they should, because there was definitely some queer coding there.
Let's be serious. Absolutely. Oh, man. Another unwritten tragic gay love story for the ages.
100%. I mean, I think that there's definitely some interesting changes, and I think one of them that updated that pretty well was The Color Purple that came out back in December. And it is very queer. And there was a lot of fans that of the original movie that were mad because the original film is not queer. But when my sister read the book, she's like, I don't know how people missed it. This book is filled with just lesbian lusting after each other.
Yeah, it's very explicit. And which is, I mean, it's great, right? Because it's also like two black women who, I mean, half the time if you do see a black woman in a sapphic relationship in media, it is with a white woman. And so it's great to have that, and to have like two women of color have an explicit relationship like that. But yeah, unfortunately, it did attract a lot of homophobia.
It is truly unfortunate. But I think that this is expanding quite everywhere too. I had taken a trip, I've taken a couple of trips to New York. Unfortunately, it's becoming like a second home lately. It's not unfortunate. I actually love it. But
I'll hopefully be joining you sometime soon. I don't know. We'll see.
please, please. But there's a ton of even there, Anne Juliet, we have a non-binary individual in that is like it's very prominent, and they make a point of like their gender shouldn't matter, so like shut the fuck up is kind of what one of the lines is. And then we have Suffs the Musical, which features a real life lesbian couple, and Spamalot, which one of the characters turns gay, and Dracula Comedy of Terrors. So if anybody is on TikTok and has not seen clips of Dracula.
Oh, I have. I was so upset I couldn't see it because I was like, thank God. Every single fruity Dracula adaptation, I'm like, thank God, as Jonathan Harker intended.
Unfortunately, I will let you know this. The clips are the only gay parts of that show.
Oh, why would you say
Listen,
that to me? You hold your in your hand and you crush them.
I saw it live. It was great, but it was like I was just at the very end, my friend was like, I thought they were supposed to be gay, and I was like, you and me both, sister. Like, what the fuck happened here?
They advertise it like that too. Like they advertised it kind of frugally. Well, okay. You win some, you lose some, I guess, but
I mean, your target audience. The gays were gonna go for that reason and that
you
reason
know
alone.
your target audience. I mean, I don't know if that counts as queer baiting, but whenever like it's that is a marketing tactic that people use sometimes, you know, where they're like, I mean, a lot of the time where they're just like, you know, like we're gonna post the gayest little sections of it and then nothing else will happen, but that'll bring in this audience. I mean, it's a musical. There's gonna be the gays there anyway.
It actually isn't a musical. That's the worst part. It's just a play.
Okay, I feel like there's a lot of advertising mistakes. I thought
It's
it
the
was.
anti Mean Girls.
Oh my God. That's true. You dangle a Dracula musical in front of me and you snatch it away. Lord.
Just because we're running out of time, I want
Yes.
to give you both a chance to highlight maybe some other queer media that you've watched this year, you've read this year, you've experienced, and that you feel like people should maybe check out this month or this year, because as Cam said, this is our Pride year, and we should definitely celebrate that.
Really?
So
Oh
Cam,
yeah,
I'll start
we
with you.
really did that for a while. I thought it'd been like 20 minutes.
Oh no, we are deep into an hour, and that's totally fine. But
Yeah.
Cam, I'm gonna start with you. What do you feel is like people are sleeping on? What do you feel like people should watch or read? Whatever you think is just encapsulates Pride and what we should be celebrating this month.
Oh, is this pressure because I've not watched or read that much like gay stuff, but definitely
Doctor Who.
Heartstopper, like yeah, Doctor Who, this season of Doctor Who especially, like and if you just pick one episode, watch Rogue because that's the gayest of them all. What else?
Like
There's
Snow White,
pro
but queer.
the stuff coming out this year that I think is probably going to be gay, like I'd probably look for Agatha, the Marvel show. I think that's going to be very gay,
Fingers
from stuff
crossed.
I've heard about it. So books wise, I've read the first fantasy series, Godkiller, that had like gay moments in it, which was good. It's also very like disability friendly. It's very like open and all of that. Like it is a fantasy book,
Oh, I love
but it's
that.
just like the main character's only got one leg and like she's bisexual and like really stern and stubborn and quite a horrible person, but we need more of that. So and yeah, and otherwise, unfortunately, I've so behind on shows and films that I need to watch, but this podcast has given me such a big list that I will absolutely be there watching all of
Definitely.
that.
I was gonna
Yeah.
say, I hope you realize that Z and I are not gonna let this list stop. We're
No,
just gonna keep sending you.
that's
No,
fine.
no, 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 no,
Please do.
no.
Please
Best
do.
believe I am in. I haunt your DMs now. I live there.
That's fine. Please move into my walls, like
Okay,
just
listen, I'm already there.
whisper
What
gay
do you think this
shows.
background is? I've been chewing at the inside. Why did oh, okay, for people not for people listening, for some reason Zoom gave me a fireworks display on this.
It's the gay. It's the
And I
gays.
think that that was the spirit of homosexuality that was assault.
Yeah, 100%. You, but 100%. You're living the Encanto Bruno lifestyle in Cam's walls.
Oh yeah. Okay, really quickly, just to touch on the things that I think people should watch. I'll be so brief with it, I swear to God. I would like to direct people's attention to the rise of the lesbian screwball comedy. Obviously, we
Yes.
have Bottoms, which, what a movie. What a wonderful movie that came out.
Oh, you
And
just weren't talking about bottoms in general. I'm just
well, yes, of course, of course.
kidding.
Just such a campy, one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Filled from top to bottoms, pun intended, with lesbians. It's just lesbians all the way down. It's fantastic. There's also a movie I saw where it's called Driveaway Dolls. Is it a bad movie? Yes. Is it intending itself to be a bad movie? Also, yes. Did I watch it kind of intoxicated with my 75-year-old father and it was much more ex incredibly explicit? And we just sort of had to live through that. Yes. But we did get through it by the entire time just being saying tasteful lesbian sex scene and applauding until it was over. So it was great. But I'm noticing this rise, and I think specifically from queer women, of just very unserious comedy about being a queer woman, which I kind of really like. For some reason, this feels connected to me with, I don't know if you guys have been listening to Chappell Roan recently, but she has a lot of just like really fun lesbian music, and she has all these fun campy outfits, and I feel like we're kind of moving away from like this. I mean, we still have a lot of like we talk a lot about all this like sad queer stuff that we watch, but I feel like we're also getting a lot more like queer comedy in a really fun way, specifically with lesbians for whatever reason, and I'm here for it. So that's what I recommend people check out.
I was gonna say Bottoms is at the top of my list. And I feel, I don't know if this is when it began. But it just reminds me so much of the comedy of Broad City, and I don't know if that like
Yeah.
started a movement.
Let's go.
I love
Absolutely.
it.
It's fantastic.
Has Been Hotel on Amazon is also really good. Also, lots of queer characters.
Oh, yeah. And that's also, let's go independent animation getting picked up by studios. Love that.
Yes. And it's the music is just hilarious. You have a great time watching it. Cannot stress that enough. I didn't get to talk about it, but All of Us Strangers is one of my favorite ones. And I love that they took a story that features a straight guy and a straight couple and they changed it for the movie to make it queer.
That's fantastic.
Yes, I was so Lizzie actually bought me the book to read for the website and I was like super excited for the film. I started reading the book and I was like, wait a second, why is he pining over this woman? Like I was like, this is not gay.
This is not what Andrew Scott promised me.
Yeah. And so the film did it better. The book is really good. The film did it better because it just changed it and he's kind of sort of in the book queer coded, but it's very, very it's a translated book from Japan. So like that maybe says quite a bit about what's happening there. Cannot stress how great that one is. I personally need to watch Mary and George. I haven't watched it, but you know, our
Me
bisexual straight
neither.
king.
That he had to come out as heterosexual as an actor is crazy.
Nicholas Galitzine is it. I don't, as I said before, nobody pulls their knees up that way and is straight. Like,
No one has that many lesbian friends and is straight, first of
right.
all.
Nobody carries around hand sanitizer the way he does and squirts on his hands and is straight.
Listen, I respect him, whatever he is. He's an amazing
Yeah.
actor.
Yeah. I mean,
But
let's be honest here. Camila Cabello has a type. And that's it.
And
she
enough said. probably
Enough
helps
said.
them in a way.
She's like, let me help you cross the rainbow bridge. That
Yeah.
sounds like they're dying, but
And hey, you
she's
know what?
like
If you like that sort of narrative, you will enjoy Challengers.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think that we reached the end of our podcast.
I think we have.
So we are running out of time, but we'd love to continue the conversation. Check us out at thecosmiccircus.com, or you can find us on Twitter or other social medias at My Cosmic Circus or our Cosmic Circus Podcast Twitter at Cosmic Podcasts. Try saying that 12 times fast. Thank you again for tuning into the Cosmic Circle. My name is Brian Kitson, and you can find me on Twitter at Kitson301. That's pretty much my handle across all social medias. Thank you so much, Cam and Izzy, for joining me. Before we go, where can people find you?
Can I go ahead?
I am on Twitter at Camonfilm. Yeah, so follow me on
You can find me in Cam's walls, I guess. And other than that,
there.
you will not find me. You can try. It
For those who don't know, we have to send up smoke signals to be able to communicate with
Yeah,
Izzy.
there you
Yeah.
go. There you go. And I'm sorry, I'm trying my best. I really am.
It's a lot of friction to rub those two sticks together to get the smoke in
I know, and I appreciate you putting in the effort. I really do. I
the.
see it from my window,
I
up here
mean,
in the mountains. I make the day-long trek to make it to Discord and be like, hello, you've sent for me. So I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you again, everybody. We can't wait for our next trip to the cosmos.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.